Big ol' Marcus.
Oh, dude.
Big ol' Marcus.
Right here, right here.
Welcome back to the Native Voice Podcast. I'm your host, Richard Ellis.
And I'm your co-host, Christian Miller.
And today we are sitting at the deer camp in the camper, coming to y'all from Spike Box.
Yep. Yeah, we'd just like to shout out everybody again. Thank you for following us on all our social medias. Facebook, sorry, I'm sniffling a little bit. I got a cold we got going on. But yeah, Facebook, TikTok, and of course Instagram. So we appreciate everybody on the engagement at Native Ways Podcast. But we're going to get right into it. We're going to talk about some pheasant hunting that we did just recently, not too far from where we're at now. It was actually in Pampa. So we had the opportunity to go pheasant hunting. We had our good buddy, Bo Whitson. He asked us if we would like to go. So we went ahead and took the opportunity and went. His dad also has been going for quite a while. So they were kind of both inviting us there. And it was a pretty good time. I mean, we got to do something new that we haven't done before. Got to experience some different things. So, I mean, it's always cool learning a different type of hunting, especially for me, you know, kind of always do the same thing most of the time. Like, every now and then you get introduced to something new, but that was, like, completely out of the box for me.
Yeah, it's very different. You can actually... Here soon, we'll have a video posted on YouTube. I know we've kind of been slacking on the content the past month with the holidays, but between holidays and hunting, we've been extremely busy. But we've got plenty of content that we're working on right now for y'all, whether it be podcasts, YouTube, whatever. But yeah, you can check out the video of that hunt on YouTube here shortly. We'll announce it. But it was very different, you know, a lot of walking. We were hunting cut wheat fields, and the first morning, we hunted a field that didn't have nearly the amount of wheat that the second field had the second day. But I think we killed more birds first morning. I don't know. Lots of walking. You're sitting there kicking these teepees of wheat, I guess formed by the wind and probably partly by the birds too, I would imagine. But you're walking through and I guess you could call it like a drive hunt. It was very different. A line of guys walk through, flush the birds, shoot the birds. It was fun, but very, very different. Not the way that we would typically hunt by any means, but it was cool to see pheasant. It was cool to hunt them like that. Cool to see new country. We got to see some mule deer, stuff like that. Tons and tons of waterfowl while we were up there. Don't shoot a damn duck choke when you're pheasant hunting, Christian.
Yeah. It was the first time doing it, so I'm out there, I'm using 3-inch number 5 lead because it, you know, from what I've seen, more BBs downrange or more pellets downrange, the better opportunity you have of killing something. So I'd rather be an overkill than an underkill. You know, yeah. I don't want to wound something, but, you know, didn't know it was going to blow him up as bad as it did.
No, you didn't. That was a little bit of sarcasm. I was shooting a duck choke, too. Just kind of had to be there kind of moment. Anyway, it was funny. It was all good fun. We shot some birds. My dad and our buddy Luke went along with us, and I think they had a good time. The first day, we walked well over 8 miles.
Yeah.
The second day, we didn't walk near as much, probably maybe half of what we walked the first day. And on the last pass, actually, I made it all the way to the truck because we'd made our last pass. And we're like, hey, guys, we need to roll out. It's a almost 7-hour drive back. We get to the truck and we start cleaning birds and loading up the truck. And I go to load up my gun and I realize my Tacticam had fallen off at some point. And we retraced our steps way back and found it laying at the last place I'd shot a bird right on top of a teepee of wheat, luckily.
Yeah, it was extremely coincidental to just walk up to where you had shot the bird last and then it just be laying on top of the wheat.
Yeah.
If it would have fell in it, there's no way it would have found it.
Yeah. Yeah. So y'all at Tacticam put like a GPS on that or something. I don't know. But yeah. No, yeah, it was like, when I picked it up, I was like, how'd this fall off? Well, it sheared off one of the set screws in the mount, but it's kind of getting off topic from the birds. What'd you think of the pheasant, in all honesty? Like,
I think they're a cool bird. I mean, they're a lot different than what I'm used to.
Yeah.
Kind of like a chicken and a quail mixed, how they act and what they do. So they kind of make noises like chickens, but they kind of flush and run around like quail in a way.
Yeah.
But they're just, you know, five times the size of them.
Yeah. And they were kind of, it was weird, like, some of them you'd shoot them and they would just absolutely fold up, and then other ones you would shoot and they'd just, like, take it and keep flying. I don't know. Like, Bobby was saying that they're not very hardy.
Yeah. I mean, the way that they would, when you'd shoot them, the way that they would fall, too, is completely different. Usually you see something like crunch up, fold up. They just kind of floated back down.
Yeah, like, you know, just back like, flip and
kind of like slow motion. Like you shot and then they just stopped flapping and just slowly fell.
Yeah, like they did a gainer or something in there. But they were really cool, beautiful birds. They taste great. We actually cooked some up Saturday for Christmas dinner at my house. I say Christmas dinner, early Christmas dinner with my family. We cooked four of them. They were really good.
Oh, I didn't even know you cooked them. I thought you said you were trying to.
No, I said I cooked four of them.
Really?
Yeah. But, so that was the other deal. You know, shooting pheasant the way we were shooting them, and I'm assuming this is probably how it is for anybody shooting pheasant, because you're shooting them fairly close. My plan was to cook them whole, you know, kind of like a rotisserie chicken or Cornish hen or whatever. But, yeah, couldn't. Two of the three I couldn't do that with. Like, I breasted out two of them, and then I salvaged what I could of the legs, but one of them I was able to cook whole.
So. Yeah, I haven't even got an opportunity to try mine out. I only got two, but I think I'm just going to chicken fry them, to be honest.
Really? They were good. I put garlic powder, onion powder, salt, pepper, I think maybe a little cayenne, and then some rosemary on them, and I baked them for... I baked them for an hour, pulled them out, looked at them, and then I put some butter, wrapped them, and baked them like another 25 minutes, I think. So they were good, moist, good birds.
Yeah.
But the pheasant hunt, yeah, it was cool. There was a lot of waterfowl up there. Like, we were kind of distracted the whole time because there's freaking geese flying around and ducks flying around. And
yeah. The first hunt that we did, we were right across the road from, I don't honestly know what it was. I don't know if it was a pond or if it was just from all of the water that they got, like 8 inches of rain in a couple of days up there, a couple of weeks before we got there. So there was water just everywhere.
Yeah.
And there was geese, ducks, everything piled up in this one little area of water.
Yeah.
And we were watching them the whole time.
We'd be walking the cut. And then, like, especially when we'd turn to walk back toward the road, back towards that body of water, we were just like, golly, man. Like, that's what we should be doing. Although, like I said, the pheasant was fun. But kind of distracted us and made us get a little bit of an itch. So, you know, we had to fill that itch. And when we got back, we lined up some duck hunting. We've been, after, I guess you could kind of say, like, public land hunting a good bit. Here recently, we're kind of waiting on our private stuff to get birds on it. So, been hitting the public stuff a little harder while we know there are some birds there.
Yeah, and just kind of saving everything to the end kind of deal. There ain't really that many birds here right now. And I'm thinking that later in the year, it typically gets better, which we're already pretty late into the season. I mean, we're mid-season. But end of January or like mid-January to end of January when the season ends is kind of the best time to go out.
Yeah. Yeah, and the way the weather's been, I mean, I was reading today. I mean, we're into December. December 28th right now. We're, what, 3 days after Christmas? Four days after Christmas? 3 days. My bad. And it's 70 degrees outside today, low of like 43. And then I'm reading that like up in the Dakotas and stuff and, you know, it's like in the 60s up there.
Yeah.
So, you know, the weather's just not getting cold enough for the birds to push down here. We have some birds, but most of them are, you know, the birds that have been hanging around since earlier pushes. So hopefully we can get some cold weather coming, you know, at the new year, maybe a couple weeks later, and finish out the season with some birds.
Yeah, I've been kind of watching the weather, and it's not seeming hopeful at all.
No.
Really, because I don't see any fronts pushing in. There's not really a whole lot to get excited about.
Yeah, the weather right now reminds me of like what it would normally be around Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It's kind of cheeks, to be honest.
Yeah, but it's almost like Halloween. It's either going to be really hot or really cold.
Yeah. And like,
or not really cold, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, you're either going to be wearing shorts or you're going to be wearing a long sleeve.
Yeah, yesterday we hunted a roost and we literally wore shorts in December.
Yeah.
It's insane. But the birds, I mean, it's, we haven't had bad hunts, I wouldn't say. We just haven't been killing, you know, big ducks. A lot of teal.
Mm-hmm. Kind of been on a little teal craze for a while now, I think a few weeks.
Yeah.
Kind of, I mean, I shot a pintail hen yesterday, but we haven't been getting big ducks, like, consistently enough.
Yeah, it's not like the last time y'all heard from us and we just got back from Greenville and we'd smoked some mallards. We're, you know, we got back here and we had one really good teal hunt. I mean, phenomenal teal hunt. We shot nearly a three-man. I killed a really good gadwall.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from that, really, we've just been shooting teal.
Yep. That's been pretty much it so far. I mean, we're just hopeful that there's going to be more birds coming in, and that's all you can really do. I think everybody's kind of in the same boat, because I've been seeing everybody all over social media and whatnot saying this is the worst duck season that they've seen in 30 years, whatever. You know, that's not...
it's not good.
It's kind of like they've been saying that the past couple of years, though. Like, the past couple of years, it's been the same situation.
But yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this hunting season in general has just been kind of... I think the weather's really got a lot to contribute to. Like, even the deer hunting's been very random. Mm-hmm. Last deer season was terrible. Duck season was pretty mid.
There have been a lot of people shooting good deer this year, but...
Yeah. Yeah, there's been big deer. It's just...
A lot of... They're at the right time kind of thing.
Yeah, there's no... Like, no way to pattern them this year. No consistency to the deer at all. They're just all over the place. Same with the ducks. Like, it's like, oh, you know, you think today's going to be a good hunt. Seen birds, whatever. Nope. Terrible.
Yeah.
But we've been after them. I mean, we've been trying to give y'all a little update, you know. Like I said, we've been busy with between hunting and holidays and stuff, but putting in the work. But hoping the birds will get here. We're at the deer camp right now doing some deer hunting. We got up here Thursday, the day after Christmas, got up that morning, drove up here, got an evening hunt in, and I don't think I seen anything the first evening
at all. Yeah, only thing I saw was a couple doe and a yearling.
Yeah. We kind of got a very tight hit list right now. There's not really any big shooters. We've got one deer that's, you know, a trophy, but the rest of it's all kind of like management deer. A couple of eights, a big old six,
mm-hmm.
and, like, they're not very consistent at all. Like, there's no pattern to them. They'll be here one day, and then they'll be here the next day, or may not show up for 3 weeks. And
yeah, the range that those deer have out here is just insane.
Yeah.
I don't know if we talked about it already before, but we'll have, I think, what was it, like a five-mile stretch from north to south?
I think it's seven.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, it's 7 miles long, the property, and we're getting deer pretty much at the top of the north side of the north feeder all the way down to the south, pretty much.
Yeah.
Like this season.
Yeah. We've had deer, just everywhere. Same east to west. It's a kind of long, narrow property, but, like, we've had deer from the very south side all the way to the very north side, from the very east side all the way to the very west side. Then we've had deer that don't know where they came from show up and get shot. I mean, mm-hmm. one of the guys on the leash shot an absolute stud at the start of the season.
Yeah.
And we had no pictures of that deer on anybody's camera for the first month and a half, 2 months. We had cameras out, and he was up here, got a picture of that deer, hunted him, killed him. Just, I mean, dumb luck. Don't know where he come from.
Mm-hmm.
Stud, though. But day we got up here, hunting wasn't too good. The weather, like I said, I mean, earlier, just the weather's been so odd this year, and I contribute a lot of it to that. Like, I think the deer are kind of in and out of their phases and not knowing what to do, really. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, I think the best time to pattern deer, at least so far this year, was in bow season for me.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, that's kind of every season you can pattern them early when they're in their bachelor groups and You know, they kind of have a set routine. But it's like once rifle season started and couldn't really, or well, it was really the first cold front and bow season, which was at the very end, like last week or two of it.
Yeah.
That cold front hit, and then they all, you know, kind of just started disappearing. And then from there, it was hard to figure out what they were going to do.
It's just, I don't know. It's been weird. Like, it's been hot, very mild, a lot of rain, like just not typical deer hunting weather, not typical duck hunting weather. It's just weird. But that's neither here nor there. So yesterday, I slept in, not even going to lie.
Yeah, I was getting up and Richard was like, yeah, I'm tired. I'm going to go ahead and sit this one out. And I'm like, well, okay. So I still went to the stand. I'm sitting in there and got a doe and a yearling. I'm pretty sure they live in the feeder pen or something. I don't know. Because it's like it's 10 hours of the day. They're there all the time. You know, they're just real comfortable there. They must be bedded down and they got water. So they got everything they need. Whatever. They like it there. Well, anyways, I seen them again. And then I seen her kept looking the doe. I seen the doe kept looking off her shoulder and staring pretty hard and wasn't moving. So I was like, well, there might be something coming in. So I look over and I'm in my bow stand. My bow stand's kind of next to the feeder pen. And then I have a rifle stand set up to the east of it, probably about 80 yards out. But she was looking towards that rifle stand and I was like, you know, from where I am, I don't really have very many windows up or windows down in the pop-up because I'm trying to stay hidden, so I can't really see much at all. Well, I look over, and, well, there's a pretty good buck. Looks like he was back there either running some doe or just running with some doe or something. I don't know. They kept flicking their tails. I don't know if they were winding me or if they were kind of running away from that buck or what was going on, but he walked out, and I got, like, probably a five-second glance at him, pretty good glance, and that was it.
Yeah,
I couldn't see him through all the brush I was trying to look through that I covered myself up with. So that's like pretty much the only deer I've seen at my feeder so far this hunt. I mean, I don't think you've had any better luck so far.
No, I mean, if I was trying to kill some turkey, I'd be slaughtering them. But
yeah,
deer is a whole different ballgame. I've seen four does. Well, three does and I guess two yearlings.
Yeah.
But that's been it. I think the first evening, I think I had a doe and a yearling come in. I can't remember. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, we've been doing so much hunting, I can't keep up with what's what or
yeah,
even what day it is, hardly.
It's yeah, just, it's been pretty hectic. Like, we've been balls to the wall hunting every chance we can. Pretty much every day this break, I think we have, other than Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. But,
yeah,
you know, we're with our families and stuff, so didn't want to sacrifice that. Yeah.
I was telling Christian on the way up here, like, going to work has been my sleeping in lately. And even you can ask my wife. Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah. I've been getting home and just plumb exhausted. Like, I'm not a big sleeper. Like, I can run on little to no sleep, but even sitting in here, I fell asleep earlier just sitting here. I've been freaking whooped.
Yeah, it's definitely been getting to us. I mean, but it is what it is. Still love it. Still going to do it.
Yeah.
Just, we're, you know, you never know.
Yeah. But
might be your last time to go.
I hope not. We're going to go again in the morning. After we finish this up, we're going to cook up some dinner, just chill out, and probably get everything loaded. That way, once we're done in the morning, we can head out. But we're staying on them. When I get back home, I don't know if we're going to try to hunt on New Year's. We're going to try to duck hunt, or are we going to? I guess it kind of depends on what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a good question.
I'll probably, if we're not duck hunting, I'll go deer hunting. But I know that evening I can't.
Yeah.
And then the following weekend, I'll probably be deer hunting. That's the last weekend of deer season, so I'll probably be trying to get some meat. But then we're going to be hammered down on the ducks. We got a hunt booked the 11th in Waco. Those guys have been on some birds. I don't know what's going on, but they've been on birds. Which. Yeah. I say that we've been killing ducks. We killed ducks yesterday. We jumped some, and then we went and hunted a roost and seen a bunch of birds.
Yeah, we just haven't been really slaughtering them, but you can't really complain. If you're killing ducks, you're killing ducks.
Yeah. Yeah.
We just don't have the luxury of finding birds every single day and, you know, patterning them or anything. We kind of just briefly look at some stuff when we're out and about at work or whatever and kind of go from there. We don't really have enough time to find the birds to get on them.
It's crazy to me, though. The one, so, like, we chose one day, and I don't think we talked about this yet. The day we went and, or the day before we shot all the teal.
No.
Yeah, so we went and we set a whole day out to scouting. Me, Christian, my dad, and my brother-in-law. And we drove around and we looked at tons and tons and tons of public land stuff. And we found one spot. Well, two, technically it's one area. One tank was covered up in ducks, and then the other tank was covered up in ducks. And we're like, well, we're going to try to get this one. But if we don't get this one, we'll go to this one. Sure enough, we didn't end up getting that one. We got beat to the spot somehow. And I get there, and I see the guys already setting up. So I was like, you know, I'm going to go talk to him. My brother-in-law was with me, and then Christian and my dad were coming. And I go up, and I was like, hey, man, like, did y'all scout this? Like, you know, what y'all's plan kind of thing. He's like, oh, no, we didn't scout this. I just, last time I hunted it, was Thanksgiving, and it was decent. I was like, damn, really? He's like, yeah. I was like, that just, you know, like, kicks you right in the balls.
Yeah.
Like, every time we plan to hunt somewhere, somehow it doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do the scouting, we'll put in the work, and then it just doesn't line up.
But yeah, it's not like we don't get there early enough.
Yeah, no, we're very committed to getting there. But, that being said, we still had a good hunt. We had a backup, and we went to that spot, and been the best hunt of the year so far. I mean, the ducks are doing it ridiculous.
Yeah, I couldn't ask for it better on that one. All teal, pretty much, and then we had a couple groups of gadwall. I think real early, couldn't even see them. You know how it is. I don't know if y'all have hunted before, and you have a horizon on the background. If, you know, there's any sort of shadow on that horizon, you can't see those birds until they're up above that skyline. Like,
yeah.
You have to pretty much shoot at their shadow.
Yeah.
And I don't really like doing that just because I don't know what I'm shooting most of the time. Sometimes you can ID them, you know, just by the size of the wing beat, whatever. But
it's hard.
I don't like to shoot them on the water in the dark and stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that hunt was weird, too. It was really overcast, and it just, it was hard shooting the birds, honestly. I mean, that and the tank dam. And anyway, but it was a good hunt. We killed a bunch of birds, shot mainly drakes, I think pretty much all drakes.
Yeah, I think we shot like two hens, and we shot like, what, 14?
Something like that. I don't know. Yeah. Shot a bunch. We were just shy of a three-man,
mm-hmm.
which we should have had a three-man, but we had birds buzz the hole, and we were picking up birds, and we missed some, lost some.
Yeah.
You know, we probably had a three-man, but either way, we didn't have them in hand, so it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But, that being said, you want to kind of talk, we've had some of y'all, and this is, I think, pretty cool, and part of why we run all the socials that we do between Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff. We've had people reach out about the camo we're wearing, kind of like wanting our review on them, which we're going to review a bunch of gear here after the season. That's kind of part of hunting, like, you got to test the gear to give an honest review, so we're going to give you honest reviews on everything.
Yeah.
Camo to waders to decoys, calls, whatever, rifles, scopes, all of it. We're going to review all that stuff. Game cameras, that is a review that's coming, and y'all are not going to want to miss that one. But, yeah, we've got a heck of a camera review for you.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But as far as the gear I'm running, I couldn't tell you exactly the name of the apparel itself, but it's the First Light. It's what I've been running, and it's my first year running it, so, you know, it's odd. Like Richard said, honest review. It's like pretty quality material. It has stretch in it. It is wind resistant, waterproof, and there's pockets and seams and stuff everywhere. I mean, I literally was using it the other day, and I was like, dude, I didn't even know this thing had a freaking zipper on it. So you have a zipper underneath the armpit, so you can zip it open, and, you know, it's a little bit more breathable. Yeah. So if you get a little too hot, you know, whatever, it lets it breathe a little bit more. But, yeah, I mean, there's pockets and zippers and wool line stuff. It's good material. And I've gone through some stuff already. What was that? Probably yesterday. we're walking through a bunch of old, like, cedar stumps, kind of. And if anyone knows anything about dead cedar, it's freaking sharp. And I was going through a bunch of that, and
it's tough.
It hasn't got frayed or cut or anything, so quality material. I can't complain, and it's warm, too.
Yeah, and, you know, we're talking about mild weather, but, like, that pheasant hunt, that hunt was cold. It was cold up there. Mm-hmm. And we've had a couple of colder deer hunts and duck hunts, too. I mean, we've had some that were in the 20s and stuff, so.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, if you're from Central Texas, Texas in general, the cold here is a little bit different than a lot of the cold you get up north. Kind of got that drier cold up there, I guess. Yeah. I don't really know what it is. I guess the air is more damp here, so it feels colder.
Yeah, it's way different cold.
So when it's like 20 degrees here, it probably feels like, you know, 10 degrees or less up there, wherever you're at, higher altitudes, whatever.
Yeah. And I'm going to say this, too, while Christian's still talking about his stuff. I don't know how many of y'all have bought, like, layering systems like a lot of this newer camo is, but there is a reason for it, and we've kind of figured that out this season. Like, you know, a lot of the hunting in Texas, especially deer hunting, you're sitting at a stand. So a layering system, it's going to keep you warm, but it's not as warm as when you're walking around in it. Versus like big puffy bibs and overalls and stuff. Like, it's dang sure going to keep you warm, but when you start moving around is when this stuff really, really works the way it's meant to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a, was it merino?
Mm-hmm.
Under, base layer from First Light, and fits real good. Like, it's not like super tight to where it feels like it's cramming you, but it's just snug enough to where it stays tight to your skin so it doesn't let anything escape. And that thing is pretty warm. Like, I was wearing it just driving around on the Polaris when it was, you know, 40 degrees outside, and it wasn't bad. So, I mean, like I said, quality material, quality apparel, and I'm hoping to keep this for a while. So far, it hasn't, you know, messed up or anything, so I think it's going
to
be good.
What about the fit on it? Like, did it fit pretty true to size, or?
Yeah. Definitely fit true to size. It fits me perfectly. I'm a bigger guy, so I mean, you know, finding stuff that fits right isn't always hard, but it definitely has its challenges because the different body shapes and stuff. But for me, it works pretty well.
Yeah, and you've been doing a lot of bow hunting. Is it quiet or?
So I mean, I'll be honest on the review on the quietness. It's not as quiet as I'd want it to be, but it does have a lot of free movement.
Yeah.
So you definitely can, like, I've drawn back with no resistance and no anything. But, you know, if you're scraping it up next to you, you can hear it. It's not as bad.
Yeah.
Definitely. But everything could be quieter when bow hunting.
Yeah.
You even flick off your release and that's too loud. You know. Yeah.
But so far you like it.
So far. Pretty good. Yeah. I mean, there's no complaints here.
Yeah. And so I've been wearing Scree this year. The reason I bought Scree, actually, a couple of years ago, my wife bought me one of their base layer merino wool hoodies, and I've worn it coyote hunting every year since then. And I was like, dang, this thing's warm. And like I said, when you're moving around in this stuff, it works totally different than when you're sitting there. So if you're in merino wool and you're walking around and it's 30 degrees, you're going to stay warm. Like, it traps your body heat, it holds it in, and it basically makes you like a little furnace.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of just holds it all in for you and uses your own body heat to regulate your temperature. Works great. So I was like, dang, I'm going to try this Scree stuff out. You know, it's fairly inexpensive. It looks like it's nice stuff. It's supposed to be wind resistant, supposed to be quiet, made for bow hunting, water resistant. It's not, they don't say it's waterproof, but it's water resistant. But I've been wearing it duck hunting, doing everything in it, and it's pretty water resistant. I mean, I haven't gotten wet.
Yeah.
They put a lot of thought into the stuff, too. Kind of like Christian was saying, like, his has armpit vents and stuff. This one has that. The pants I'm wearing. So, the jacket's a hard scrabble jacket. It's like their midweight, which is plenty for around here. The pants are Kodiak pants. I got these just because I figured sitting in the blind, keeping my legs warm would be a little better than keeping my torso warm.
Mm-hmm.
Because you kind of regulate heat there, I think.
Yeah.
The Kodiaks are supposed to be like this next step up, like a late season type pant, which they're hot. But they have vents and stuff too. So even like today we walked, I don't know, probably a couple miles.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wearing them and I didn't get like sweating or anything. I was fine. So far, they seem pretty quiet. Got tons of pockets, like these pants. I've got 6 pockets just on the front, plus side zips and back pockets and jacket, kind of the same. Like Christian said, he's got a lot of pockets on his. These have a lot of pockets. Things I do like, they've got these wrist straps, the merino underlay or underlayer. It's got thumb holes, which I'm not a thumb hole guy at all, but when you're layering up, having thumb holes to hold your gear in place so you can get your jackets on right, I do like that. One thing I would say that I wish these had that Christian's does have, I think it's on his base layer, he's got like a face shield built in. These don't have that. They do have like really high zippers, so you can zip up basically to your nose, and the hoods fit really good, but they don't have that built-in face shield, which would be nice to have. Maybe they have some gear that does, but what I have doesn't.
Yeah.
I also have one of their beanies. It's like a 300-gram merino wool. That thing's warm. It's awesome. But when you use this stuff all together, it's really nice. The one downfall to this stuff, I would say, and even when you... when you purchase their stuff, if you read, it does say it runs a little small, and I can vouch for it does run small, but they guarantee their product to fit. So let's say you order something, which is what happened to me. I normally wear an XL in my jacket, and I'm a 36 waist. Well, I ordered XL jacket and a 36 waist, and neither fit. Like, they fit way small. So I sent them back, and it was... very easy. I called Scree. I said, hey, this didn't fit. This is what I need. They said, okay, we'll send you the shipping label. It'll be paid for, all that stuff. Send it back to us, and we'll ship the other one to you right now. And they sent it to me. Sent me a 2X jacket and a 38 pants, and they both fit good. They're a little snugger fitting, but I think they're supposed to kind of fit that way for movement purposes, really.
Mm-hmm.
But pants fit great. They're a tad long on me, but that's fine. I can cuff them or whatever.
Yeah. But I think that's one of the biggest things in the, you know, more expensive hunting gears. Not a lot of people don't understand that. It kind of helps you as a tool.
Yeah.
You know, you can be more successful if you have, well, I guess you can do it no matter what, but your odds are a little bit better if you have more free movement.
Yeah.
Like, let's say you're pulling up out of a duck blind to shoot a duck. If you get caught on your jacket the whole time, or you can't even feel your butt stock hit your shoulder, then
yeah, you're not going to
be on point as much as if you had all the feelings. Just like when you're using gloves doing something, and then you have no gloves on.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, you just, once you could get the feeling of it, or like when you're drawing a bow back, you know, you got to get that anchor point right, and you got to get that grip right on the bow to make an accurate shot. So, you know, I think that it's worth the buy.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm sure too, like, I mean, we're not sponsored by either of these companies or anything, you know, just honest reviews. But I'm sure if you look into videos, other gear review videos of the same brands or whatever, and you're interested, I'm sure there's somebody out there with a discount code. I'm sure you can look up discount codes. There's one cool thing Scree did for me too, when I had issues with the gear not fitting and whatever and getting it back. We reached out to them, and they gave me 30% off any purchases going forward, so that's cool. But, you know, you just talk to them, and they'll take care of you.
Yeah, that's good. Customer service is definitely one of the biggest things, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and this year I've had to deal with, you know, a few companies with customer service, and like I said, in some of the reviews you all see going forward, you'll see the customer service from different companies. Three companies I've had to talk to this year have been Scree, Higdon, and SpyPoint. So get ready for that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to trash any companies. You know, we're going to just give honest reviews. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say so far, you know, it's been an interesting season. It's been a fun season. We've absolutely probably hunted the hardest out of any season I've hunted.
Yeah. We still got another 2 months, probably 3 months of it.
Yeah. We're going to finish up January. You know, we got one more week of deer season, finish out the duck season strong, hopefully. And then very excited for calling season, mm-hmm. varmints. It's looking good. We got a lot of good property lined up. It seems like the predators are thick this year, especially the coyotes.
Yeah. I think everything got a lot of water this year. There's a lot of grass everywhere, a lot of stuff for, you know, the prey to eat. So
Yeah, there's been pretty high prey numbers, and it looks like pretty high predator numbers. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that's good for us.
I mean, really everything is healthy this year, mm-hmm. from what I've seen. So
we got rain at the right times for once.
Yeah, exactly what we needed.
Yeah, which we'd been in crazy drought, and we're still in a crazy drought, but
yeah,
we just got rain when stuff needed to grow,
mm-hmm.
and it seems like it's worked, or it's helped. Another recent deal we did, we made some tweaks on our high rack, since we're talking about calling season.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a video for that posted to YouTube, some tweaks we've made on that. Just minor adjustments. So, you know, again, we do all this stuff, man. We do every kind of hunting you can think of, plus digging. So if y'all ever have questions regarding anything or want opinions, you know, if you got questions on high rack gear, whatever, shotguns, ammo, anything,
yeah,
you know, hit us up on Facebook. We'll tell you about it. Tell you our honest opinions.
I can guarantee that we probably, if you have a question, we probably had the same question before too.
Yeah.
Because I think that we have done more trial and error on everything than a lot of people that I know.
Yeah. And another deal too is like Christian and I are very similar people when it comes to, like he just said, trial and error. I don't want to spend money on something that I'm not going to like. So I do a ton of research,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure Christian's the same way. Like if I'm buying a gun, I'll spend 3 weeks researching every gun possible. And then once I kind of narrow it down, I'll research those for 3 weeks just to see. And I mean, ultimately it depends on what you like, but, we're not going to tell y'all any BS. We're going to be straight up with y'all on whatever we're doing, because we know if you're a customer buying products, you want the best knowledge going forward and you want the best product for your money.
Mm-hmm.
So, and same with hunting. We want y'all to be successful digging, want y'all to be successful, whatever. So if you got a question, ask. We've all been there. So I'm not going to shame you if you ask a question that other people would say is silly, or, you know, I'm not that guy.
Right.
No question's a stupid question, in my opinion.
No, and then it's always cool to see people, you know, take your advice and be successful, and then, you know, just be grateful that they got the advice. And, you know, I'm definitely that way too. Like when somebody tells me something that I've never heard of before and I try it and it works, I think that's like the craziest thing ever.
Yeah.
I'm like, dang, dude, I would have never thought to do that, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And then you kind of carry the tradition on to whoever initially gave it to you.
Yeah. Again, the whole point of what we're doing here is it's a community. You know, we're living our hobbies, so we're trying mm-hmm. to bring everybody together and help everybody out. Kind of before we get off here, I do want to say a few things. Again, check us out on all of our socials. Don't forget, we posted it a couple days ago. We started the community cache. It's the wall where we're posting businesses, pictures of, you know, finds, harvests, catches, whatever. The first member we've shouted on, it's Logan Lee. He's been a super active guy on our Facebook. He's super involved in all the communities that we participate in. So, thanks again, Logan, for all your participation. We really appreciate it. We appreciate any of our followers. Another guy that's been really active on our stuff has been Nathan Dickin.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all check him out. I think he does some taxidermy, doesn't he?
I think so.
Maybe. I may be lying on that, but I think he does. if you don't, Nathan, sorry. But so don't forget about those kind of deals. And then don't want to let y'all think that we're forgetting about arrowheads or anything like that, because, you know, this is kind of, arrowheads are supposed to be our bread and butter. It's just the time we got into this is not really situational for arrowheads.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean we're not thinking of things and working on things. We've got a lot of stuff in place. We're going to have a dedicated segment just to arrowhead talk going forward in the spring. And we got some big plans for the spring with that. So hope y'all are ready, because it's going to be cool. I think it's going to be really cool.
Yeah, I think it will.
Yeah. So, it's going to be different. Nobody's going to be doing what we're doing. It's going to be the greatest thing ever.
Mm.
It's going to be huge. Looking forward to a great 2025.
Yep. So, if you're listening to this, y'all have a Happy holidays.
Yep.
And we'll see you next year.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
And keep living your hobbies.
See y'all.